Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM, good morning. So on Friday, we spoke to Aina Casey. He's a school teacher from Mayo who spoke to us about physical literacy and the need for your child to be able to run and tumble and jump. It got a huge reaction, and even this morning you were texting in. And as parents, some of you are not happy. You're not happy. We got a lot of texts in from frustrated parents who are just worried about their kids, who have no interest in getting outside and running around. And I think the midterm pushed them over the edge, and they want to know how to get their kids moving. Well, on the line now is child and adolescent psychotherapist Colman Nochter to give us some advice. Colman, good morning.
Morning, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm good. Can I ask you, are kids these days just less active than we were back in the day?
I think the answer to that is there's some are, from the point of view of, I think there's still lots of children who are very, very active and they're doing 10 activities a week and they're moving plenty. But there's probably more children who are sedentary. And I think there's a number of factors for that. Probably there's less opportunity for informal play, if that makes sense. Everything in today's world is very orchestrated and manufactured, from play dates to formalized training in sports camps and things like that. There's very little informal play where you would have seen, say, kids kicking a ball on the street or playing curbs or hanging around. And there's a number of reasons for that. One of the, yes, is probably screens, that people are more enticed to stay inside. But perhaps there's also a safety issue around, things are different now. I mean, I used to, my mother would kill me for saying this, but I used to kind of hitch home from primary school sometimes. You know, I lived in a country and we kind of knew most people. But if I found my 11-year-old doing that now,
dead.
I'd lose the plot, you know.
So true, because, I mean, we left the house. I lived on an estate. I left the house in the morning and I wasn't back till it got dark. And we were doing up to all sorts of things, but we were out in the air. We rarely watched telly, except for maybe a Saturday, Sunday morning when Shira was on. But it's just different. But our parents, I want to ask you, our parents, are we to blame for them being a little bit lazy? You know, are we fighting a losing battle with their tablets?
No, we're not. I mean, first of all, the fight against tablets is very different than it ever was before. So the allure of, we had technology when we were growing up. I'm sure you're too young to remember the kind of Commodore 64 days. But from the point of view of, there was technology,
yeah,
there. It was just rubbish. So
yeah,
like, you had to wait 20 minutes for a game to load. So you'd get two games of football in while they were waiting for that. But from the point of view of now, the technology is so gratifying and so immediate that you're fighting a much more difficult task in trying to entice children into something different. But I would say that parents, yeah, I mean, we need to prioritize activity. And again, I would always say that the technology should be the junk food of communication. So you wouldn't give somebody a handful of crisps before their dinner. You'd give it afterwards. So the physical activity should be prioritized over the devices. So you earn the devices by being physical. But I would say that the opportunity for children to be physical is less, because our virtual worlds have never been bigger, but our physical environments have never been smaller, from the point of view of the radius of how many children would go more than a kilometer outside their house. Probably very little. Do you know what I mean? From the point of view of our actual physical worlds, you don't really see teenagers hanging around, sitting on walls or kicking a ball around as much as you would have done before. And so without us allowing them to have that space to hang out, they're hanging out virtually. So there is a responsibility on us, and are we driving children online? But I do think there's another element to this is important, Jennifer, which is, I think the culture of sport has changed an awful lot. And so the elitism and competitiveness of sport has driven a lot of children away from sport. So there's not a lot of sporting activities that would have a kind of a five-a-side culture to it, where you just go and play and move and be active for the crack. It's all very championships, medals, prizes. And lots of children they're keen to be active, but they're just not competitive. And there isn't really a space for children to engage in activity if you're not competitive. And so you retire a lot of children from activity and from sport. at 7 and 8 years of age when they're told you're not competitive enough to be here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but can I ask you, because I was talking to my husband about this recently, actually, and he said, well, it was always like that. He can remember back in the day, it was always quite competitive, but he thinks it's quite a good thing because it teaches your kid to push themselves and be competitive. Would you agree? Would you say the majority of kids, it doesn't work with?
No, I think there's ego kids who like the medals and prizes and want to do that. And it fits those children. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's a whole cohort of people who are not that way inclined.
Okay.
You know what I mean? From the point. And I think your husband's point might be a bit. I didn't play. I'm 43 now. So my first underage opportunity was playing football with Thomas Davis's at under 11. There was no academies for under fives, under sixes, under sevens, under eights, under nines. So we're introducing children into formalized sport much, much earlier. And so the opportunity to learn the skills of the game in your own time against the wall or playing outside with your pals is far less. So when we introduce them earlier, the risk of them retiring earlier is also possible. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes complete sense. So how do we do it? How do we get them interested in activities or get them outside and get them moving? How do we do it?
Well, I think you have to set the standard by yourself as well. And again, it's going to come down to the parental template. If you're saying, you know, go outside and play while I sit inside, we do have to kind of get involved. And we did a piece of research a few years ago about active families and children. And like, I don't mean, you know, go for a 10K hike up the Dublin Mountains or anything like it. But, you know, walking the dog was one of the things that teenagers described as kind of a most enjoyable experience with a parent or with someone else. And these are opportunities for you to kind of show that activity is part of the value system. But I don't know whether we do that an awful lot. I think sedentariness, and I mean, a lot of sports we do is solo. So we go for a run in the evening or a walk in the evenings, listen to things in our headphones or gym. As adults, we don't tend to do a lot of collective activity. And so from the point of view of, we need to kind of sell the value system to children that it's actually important. So by doing that, but I also think we need to find a space for activity where competition isn't as predominant. And
gotcha.
From the point of view of, like, the other thing is the studies from DCU a few years ago said children that are not able to catch, they're not able to throw, the very basic skills that they're not doing. And again, we need to be careful of that and mindful that we need to give them an opportunity to learn them as quickly and as easily as possible.
Yeah, we talked about that with a school teacher, Aina, who was talking about physical literacy and how important it is to be able to jump and duck out of the way and all that kind of stuff. I think a lot of parents maybe look to teachers and PE teachers and football coaches to teach their kids, which is probably too late. I mean, is it the parents' responsibility, I would say, to do this as early as possible?
I think so. I think we have a role in it, but I do think schools have a role in it as well. And
yeah.
I'd like to see PE become, you know, more part of the curriculum, or physical literacy become more part of the curriculum. We need to sell the benefits of exercise as well, because as we become more mentally under pressure and stress, we've never been a more time poor society. So I've been that, you know, parent standing at the sideline seeing my son going, gosh, I should be out more with him in the evenings and he should be practicing this. And, you know, you can put all the parental guilt you want into it. If you're not doing that, it's understandable, but maybe making a space at a weekend to do something. And again, it's about making it part of the culture. Like, for the first time you go walking on a Sunday after dinner, your teenagers and your tweenagers are going to be rolling their eyes and thinking this is rubbish. But after week six of doing it, it just happens that's what we do on a Sunday after dinner. And you have to kind of create the culture despite the protests in the initial instance and just make it part of what you do.
There's also laziness too when it comes to being indoors, you know, like helping around the house and getting involved in family activities. What can we do there to motivate them? Can we bribe them with buttons, do you think, or is that not the way to go?
Probably not the most helpful from the point of view of that. I think when it comes to chores and jobs, again, that's about selling it as a team effort, you know, that we all have to live here and we all have to do that. So kind of setting little tasks. But for younger children, it is much more about the effort rather than the outcome, you know. So getting your child at 3 or 4 or 5 to bring their plate over to the dishwasher is reasonable, whereas getting them to strip the bed and, you know, put a new duvet on is probably a bit more complex. So it doesn't matter if they do it very well or badly or whatever. It's just the effort that they're willing to take part, and just rewarding them with validation. And, you know, children, they do like praise. And again, they value praise a lot more than they value buttons.
Yeah.
And from the point of view of, we don't maybe think or believe that our praise goes far enough. But it is about catching them being good and creating a kind of a culture around that. But I have to say, a caveat for all of this is that midterm has been a washout for so many people because of the lockdowns and because we're so limited in terms of space and movement and exercise. Any parent could be forgiven for, you know, letting the tablets and screen stuff go out of kilter a bit, because just the world that we live in at the moment isn't conducive to, you know, all that kind of informal activity that we've talked about. But hopefully when we resume to some form of normality, when we reboard, we can kind of address some of these things and maybe get them right second time round.
And just finally, a comment, why is it just so important for kids that they just keep moving and are interested in things?
Well, it's incredibly important for your mental health and self-esteem and self-worth to have a sense of traction and movement and momentum. And it's about being able to do something, like being able to catch a ball and kick a ball and things like that. It allows you so many access to different relationships and different opportunities. And, you know, again, the mental fitness side, we're seeing in mental health research all the time, movement and exercise, good sleep, good appetite. They're the lifestyle choices of mentally healthy people. So if we're going to be living in the most kind of stressful environment ever, we need to counter that with some kind of mental fitness things and movement and engaging in communities and collective sporting activities and taking part in things in an informal way is hugely beneficial to our self-beliefs and self-worth, you know?
We know all this. We just got to do them. Coleman Nocter, thank you so much. And you can find more information with Coleman. You can go to ColemanNocter.com. Coleman, I'll chat to you soon, okay?
Thanks very much, Jen. Can I just say one more thing?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
I have an Asking for a Parent podcast at the moment that I'm running at the moment for the next few weeks. So if people want to get in touch with any questions around that, it's Asking for a Parent, and they can get all the information on that too.
Amazing. Thanks, Coleman. We all need that right now in our lives. And I just had a thought there coming in. We're coming into Christmas hard and fast, aren't we? And, you know, kids are asking for all kinds of things. Now, Santa will do his thing. He will do his thing and bring boys and girls whatever they wish for, as long as they're good boys and girls. That's very important over the next couple of weeks. But my husband suggested that we as parents, not Santa, but we as parents maybe buy something for our child that will get them outdoors on Christmas Day and be very active in doing that and looking for something that they can play with outside, because they just want to stay inside and play with their toys from Santa, don't they? But as parents, if we can make that choice and make the right choices of getting them outside, it'll benefit everybody. So I suppose, like what Coleman was saying, it's all about choices. So let's try and make the right ones. God, it's hard sometimes. Thanks for that, Coleman. We'll be back right after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.